John chapter 21, if you found your place, say amen. 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 The Bible says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. And they say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Verse 5, then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. I want to draw your attention to three words we find in the sixth verse of John 21, and I hope that you'll mark them in your Bible. You can either underline them, draw a box or a circle around them. But it's the three words, the right side. The right side. It says, and he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. When I was growing up, my grandfather loved to go fishing. He wasn't a bass fisherman. He was a crappie fisherman, as we used to call it. Some people up north call it a crappie fisherman. I don't know what a crappie is. I've caught lots of crappie, but I've never caught a crappie. But regardless, he loved to go crappie fishing. And his way of fishing was to go out and he would sink trees. A lot of times he would gather everybody's Christmas trees together and tie cinder blocks around them and find a specific point in a certain cove, and he would sink those trees or sink brush into the lake, and then he would mark it with some landmark, and then when he would go fish, he would go back to those spots and he would fish over those piles of brush. I enjoyed fishing over the piles of brush because there was lots of space and lots of room. My grandfather wasn't the most patient fisherman. We would pull up and he would troll over the brush pile and then he would mark it and then we would cast out. And if we didn't get a bite within the first 2 or 3 minutes, he was ready to pull anchor and go to the next one, which was fine because he had multiple brush piles. But after we hit about 7 or 8 different piles of brush, if they weren't biting over the brush, Grandpa would resort to going to fishing around the piers. And if you've never been crappie fishing, you can go to certain piers, and certain piers actually have brush around them, and you can do one of two things. You can try to take and throw your line up underneath the pier in the shallow water or where it's shaded, and you can pull it back, and you can catch a lot of fish that way, or you can try to throw straight down the pier and bring your line up in hopes that they'll come out. I myself hated when we went to the piers, and I want to tell you why. Because when we would go to the piers, Grandpa would always run the troll motor at the front of the boat. And Grandpa would position the front of the boat to where he had the most absolute perfect angle to throw up under the pier or down by the pier. But I was in the back of the boat. And the back of the boat would slowly drift out towards the middle of the lake while Grandpa was positioning the boat exactly where he wanted to be. And so here I am in the back of the boat trying to figure out how I'm going to get an angle. I can either try to hook it around Grandpa or I can try to, I've got no angle. So when I would finally get so frustrated, on many occasions I would turn around and just throw it as far as I could humanly throw my line out into the middle of a lake. And I would stand there quietly, never saying a word, until Grandpa finally realized that I was out way from the pier and he was enjoying fishing and I wasn't. I wish I could tell you that I caught a big crappie that was out in the middle of the lake that was just straying on his migration to somewhere else, but I never did. I was throwing on the wrong side of the boat. There was a right side where the fish were, but then there was another side where the fish predominantly were not. And you say, Pastor, what in the world does that have to do with this passage of Scripture? Well, when we come to John chapter 21, we find the disciples in a similar situation that I was in. The Lord Jesus has been crucified, he's been buried, he's been rose again. He's presented himself to his disciples. They've seen him, they know that he is risen. But they decide to go back out onto the water. Peter says that he is going to go fishing. He tells us in verse 3, it says, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. And they say unto him, we also go with thee. So when we come to this chapter, we find the disciples that are out fishing. And the Bible says in verse 3 that they fished all night long and they caught nothing. And in the morning, they see a man standing on the shoreline, and it was Jesus, but they didn't realize it was Jesus. And Jesus calls out to them and he says, children, have you any meat? Have you caught anything? And they respond, no. And Jesus hollers back out to his disciples on the ship and says, cast your net on to the right side and you shall find. And they cast their nets on the right side, and the Bible says that they caught so many fish that they had a hard time even drawing the net for the multitude of the fishes. Now, at a first glance, you say, what in the world can this passage of Scripture, can this story have to do with my life on a daily basis? How can this help me grow in my relationship with Christ? Well, the reality is this. Christ uses this passage of Scripture with his disciples to teach his disciples and to teach us a valuable lesson about how we live our life. Because there is a way that you and I can live our life on the wrong side, or we can live our life on the right side. And today, I want us to spend a few minutes looking into this passage in hopes of learning the importance of you and I living our life on the right side. So if you're taking notes this morning, I hope that you will. Let's notice, first of all, the representation of life. The representation of life. The Lord Jesus had an amazing way of taking an everyday circumstance, something that you wouldn't think anything about, and taking and using that to illustrate a spiritual truth and making a spiritual application to our lives. And when he looks and sees these disciples that are out fishing, he takes and uses this boat that they're fishing in and the task that they're doing to illustrate a lesson about life. Because on a boat, there are two different sides. You have the left side and then you have the right side. And of course, you have the front and the back. But he uses this boat and the left side of the boat and the right side of the boat to illustrate the two different approaches that you and I can take in living our life. So let's consider the two sides. Notice, first of all, the left side. The left side. When we think about this ship and we think about the disciples out there and we think about the left side of the ship, the left side of the ship represents the natural man. The left side of this ship represents human intellect. It represents human intelligence. It represents everything that you and I have in our flesh without God. It's what drove Peter to go out and fish in the first place. Again, notice in verse 3 of John chapter 21. It says, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. And it says, they say unto him, we also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately. This isn't a decision that they made. They didn't pray about going fishing. They didn't get together and say, guys, you think God would want us to go fishing? No, they just said, I'm going to go fishing. And they said, well, we're going to go with you. And there's absolutely nothing sinful about that. Sometimes I've heard pastors ridicule the disciples for going fishing and say that they were trying to go back to their old lifestyle. I never see Jesus rebuke his disciples for going fishing. But what they did is they went out and it was a decision that they made on their own. It wasn't sinful, but it wasn't a spiritual choice. And this is the side that they fished on all night long. They fished on the left side of the boat. You say, Pastor, how could you possibly know that? Well, because when Jesus comes into the story, in verse 6, he says, cast the net on the right side of the ship and ye shall find. All night long, they fished on the left side. What that is a picture of is it is a picture of them fishing and laboring in their human intellect, in their human intelligence. It's the best that they could do. They fished there all night long. Now remember, these are believers. These were followers of Christ. And the application of mine in your life is this. You and I can know Jesus Christ as our Savior. We can be followers of Jesus Christ, but still live our life and make every decision in our life solely based on our human intelligence, our human intellect, and our flesh, never giving consideration to the Lord at all. So that's the left side. Notice the right side. I told you there were two sides. There's the left side, but now there's the right side. The right side is the side that Jesus calls them to change to. We've noted that several times in verse 6. He says, cast the net on the right side of the ship. The right side represents the new man. The right side represents the Spirit of God and His work in our heart. You know, when you and I, before we got saved, Ephesians chapter 2 says that we were dead in our trespasses and sins. But when we come to know Christ and we accept Christ as our Savior, the Holy Spirit of God comes and indwells us. So now in us, we have the old nature, but then we also have a new nature. Sometimes it's referred to as the old man and the new man. Sometimes you'll hear it referred to as the old Adam and the new Adam. But we have these two natures inside. And what we see on the right side of the ship is the right side is a representation of the Spirit of God that lives inside of us, the new man. The word right that is used here in verse 6 comes from the Greek word dexios, and it literally means a place of honor, authority, or power. Why do you think that Scripture always says that Jesus is set down on the what side hand of the Father? On the right hand of the Father. Why? Because the right side is always a picture of power and authority. And that is where Jesus sat down. And that's the same side that He tells these disciples to cast their net onto. Basically what it is it's the side that says we're not going to make our own decision. We're going to allow God to choose what we do. We're going to allow God to choose where we go and how we live our life. And as you and I consider this illustration, we see this boat and we see the disciples, and they have the opportunity to fish on the left side and trust in all their education, all their experience, all their intellect, or they can live on the right side, which is in obedience to God's word, which is yielding their will to God's will and going and doing the things that God would have them to do. It's amazing how Jesus takes this little fishing expedition and makes a powerful illustration about you and I and the way that we can live our life. We see the representation of life, but notice secondly this morning, I want you to see the result of their labor. Secondly, we see the result of their labor. You say, Pastor, is it really that important to let God lead my life and consult Him about everything that I do? I mean, I'm a smart person. I'm a moral person. Do I really need to pray and ask God about the decisions that I make and all these things? Well, let's consider the results of the efforts that they had fishing in this illustration that Jesus is using in this lesson He's trying to teach them about life. Notice, first of all, the absence of fish. The absence of fish. Now, you got to remember, to understand the power of this illustration, you got to understand and remember the background of these disciples. These disciples were fishermen. They were trained fishermen. They were expert fishermen. They were professional anglers. This is what they did. This is how they made their living. The Bible tells us in verse 1 that they were fishing on the Sea of Tiberias. They had fished there, no doubt, hundreds, if not thousands of times. They knew where to go. They knew the honey holes. They knew the time to go. They knew exactly the depth to fish. They knew exactly what to do. But yet the Bible says that they fished all night long. And what does it say at the end of verse 3? It says, and they caught nothing. They caught nothing. Now think about that for a moment. I mean, I've gone fishing before and maybe only caught a couple small brim or bluegill or just, I mean, maybe you catch a stray catfish, but I mean, rarely do you go and you don't catch nothing. But imagine if this is what you did. Imagine if you were a professional fisherman and you're used to catching great droves. I mean, you made a living off of fishing, but yet you go and you spend all night and you don't catch one single fish. You see, God was involved in the whole thing. And God's using this to try to teach them. They went out on their own without any guidance, without anything, and they're relying solely on their flesh and on their intellect. Remember, that's what the left side represents. And the left side is where they spent all night fishing. And the result was that they caught nothing. This sounds a whole lot like something that Jesus had already taught His disciples. In John chapter 15, Jesus is teaching His disciples about abiding in Him. And in John chapter 15, verse 4, He says this, abide in Me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in Me. Now Jesus has already taught them this. Jesus taught them this truth and this principle before He died, before He was resurrected. He taught it before they went out. But now he's illustrating this same truth with them in this ship and they're fishing. Because what they're doing fishing on the left side of the ship is they're relying on their self. They're not abiding in him. And what Jesus tells them here in John 15 is true. It's the exact same thing we see here in John chapter 21. He says, the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. And them fishing on the left side, completely relying solely on their intellect and intelligence and human reasoning, they could not catch one single fish. He goes on in John 15, verse 5, and says this. He says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do what, church?
Nothing.
And how many fish did they catch? None. They caught nothing. The same thing Jesus taught them in John 15 is the same thing we see illustrated here. And when you and I live our lives completely relying on our human intellect and our own reasoning and our own logic, and we never give consideration to the Lord, you and I are going to bear the same thing that these disciples bear. We're going to bear nothing. We're going to bear no fruit. We're going to have an absence of the fish. But notice, not only do we see the absence of the fish, secondly, I want you to see the abundance of fish. The abundance of fish. They fished all night long on the left side of the ship and they caught nothing. Jesus comes up and he calls to them from the shore and he says, children, have you any meat? And they said, no. He says, well, cast your net on the right side of the ship. And when they cast their net on the right side of the ship, the Bible says in verse 6, at the end of the verse, they cast therefore and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. On the left side, they fished all night long and didn't catch a thing. On the right side, they fished just a little while and they had so many fish that they couldn't even hardly draw the net. Now think about that for a moment. They caught more fish in possibly an hour's time, listening to what God said, than they could fishing all night long on their own. The spiritual application of that for you and I is this. You and I can do more in a few minutes relying on God and obeying God than we can do in a lifetime trying to do it on our own. We have got to get back as God's people and as individuals and as a collective body, as a church. We've got to get back to where we're learning to live a life relying on God to lead us and to direct us, to make our daily decisions, to make the decisions about our homes, to make our decisions about our lives, to make our decisions about our churches. Churches today are involved in so many different things, and so many of them, I fear, are copycats off of something we saw a church doing down the road. A ministry in a church should be birthed. What I mean by that is if we're gathering together and God wants us to start a ministry for a certain thing, then God should move in the heart of some of our people. It could be the pastor, it could be somebody on a committee, it could just be an average member, and recognize and help them to recognize that need and then begin working in their heart and they begin praying, how can we meet this need? And then together, the church comes together and says, well, let's put this together and start a ministry to meet that need. But instead, what happens in the modern day church is this. A church is plugging along. We know a friend of a friend who knows a friend of an uncle and a cousin who goes to a big church in a big city, and the big church in the big city says, we've got this awesome, amazing ministry to do X, Y, and Z. So you know what the small church does? Well, if we get that ministry called X, Y, and Z, and we do it here, then we can grow and we can be big just like that church. And so we weren't led of God. We weren't praying about it. We didn't see a need. We're just copying what somebody else did. But that's not the way it is. And it shouldn't be that way in your life. Just because somebody else studies and prays in the morning and God speaks to them doesn't mean that God wants you to study and pray in the morning. You may not be a morning person. God may want you to study and pray in the evening. You understand? We have to be led of the Lord. And God desires so much for each one of us. But if we live our lives constantly fishing and serving on the left side, where all we've got is human logic and reasoning, and we never surrender ourselves to God, what is it you want? God, what do you want for me? God, lead me and guide me and help me. Then our lives are going to end up with an absence of the fruit that we desire instead of the abundance that God desires for us. Do you understand? We see the representation of life, we see the results of their labor, but we see a third thing, and that's the reminder of the Lord. We see the reminder of the Lord. This whole experience that Jesus is preaching and that he's revealing to us in this passage of Scripture is a reminder to these disciples. Remember, he's already been buried. He's been risen again. He's commissioned his disciples to take the gospel to the world. But this will be the first time that these disciples have ever served the Lord without being in the physical presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, Peter was fishing, James was fishing, John was fishing when Jesus came and called them. And for 3.5 years, they have walked with the Lord Jesus Christ. In essence, they've been his assistant pastors. He led the ship. He decided where they went. He decided where they go. He decided what miracles were done. He decided what was taught and what was preached. They just came along for the journey. But he knows that he's getting ready to ascend back into heaven. He knows that his disciples are getting ready to be on their own. He knows that now they're going to have to make those decisions. He knows that now they're going to have to be the ones speaking. He knows now they're the ones that are going to have to be led. And he uses this situation to remind them that they cannot live their life based on logic and human reasoning alone. Now, I don't mean that when we got saved, we didn't lose our mind. Okay? Some people try to over-spiritualize everything. I'm not trying to tell you that if you're sitting up and you're trying to balance your checkbook that you need to pray, now, Lord, is 2 + 2 still 4? I mean, that's foolishness. I'm not saying that we throw out all human logic and reasoning. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. God gave us a brain to use, but what I'm saying is if that's all we're relying on and we give no consideration to the Spirit of God, then we are acting solely in the flesh and we're going to produce nothing. And Jesus knew that about these disciples. He knew that they could not succeed in their ministry. They could not accomplish what he had for their life if they did not learn to rely on him and abide in the vine. And beloved, we cannot be successful as Christians. We cannot be successful as a church if we're solely driven by our own logic and our own reasoning. There are going to be things that you don't understand. There are going to be things that you can't work out with pencil and paper that God asks you to do, but we have to have faith. We must learn the lesson that Christ is teaching his disciples. So many things that we do, they're not bad things, they're not wicked things, but they're not the things that God would have us to do. And like them, if we're fishing and serving only on the left side of our boat, then we're working hard, but many times we're coming up empty. Now think about this for a moment and I'm through. Here's these disciples. I've told you they're professional fishermen. They fished all night long on this left side of the boat. And Jesus comes. Jesus knows what they need. Jesus knows the change that they need to make. But notice how he goes about it. Notice what the Bible tells us here in verse 5. It says, Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? Now let's stop right there. Does the Bible not tell us that God is omniscient? He's all-knowing? Does the Bible not teach us that he's omnipresent? Jesus knows the very hairs on their head. He knew that they didn't have any meat. He knew that they'd fished all night and they didn't have anything. He knew they'd fished all night on the left side of the boat. So why ask the question? If he already knows the answer, why ask the question? Well, he wasn't asking it for his benefit. He was asking it for their benefit. He wanted them to verbalize and admit, no, we have not caught any meat. Because Jesus realized that for them to ever make a change from what they were doing, it began with them looking in the mirror and admitting what we're doing isn't working. That's where so many people get hung up in their Christian life. That's where so many people who are lost without Christ, they refuse to admit to themselves that they've never trusted Christ as Savior. I've never experienced the forgiveness that is offered. And they refuse to admit that to themselves. Therefore, they can never change. A.W. Tozer said this. He says, if we think we are what we ought to be, then we'll never be anything different than what we are. The reality is, beloved, God's still working on me. And whether you realize it or not, He's still working on you. And there's some changes that He wants to make in me, and there's some changes that He wants to make in you. And the reality is, those changes only begin when you and I will admit, no, we're not being fruitful doing what we're doing. So Jesus asked this rhetorical question, and they answered Him, no. I give them credit for answering no. But then notice what He says in verse 6. It says, He said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. Now we read that and we think, well, that's easy. Well, why wouldn't they? But remember the inner struggle that they would have had. They were professional fishermen. The Bible tells us they didn't even recognize that it was Jesus calling out to them. But when Jesus called out to them, they were willing to receive instruction. Not only were they willing to receive it, but the Bible says that they acted on it in verse 6. And it says, they cast therefore. They were willing to receive the message that God had for them. It began with them admitting that they weren't accomplishing what they wanted to accomplish. But then secondly, they had to receive the message and be willing to change. And they were willing to take the nets, and they pulled all those nets up from the left side and they cast them out in faith on the right side and said, we're not accomplishing what we want on the left side. We've got to cast it on the right side. And when they did, because they obeyed, God allowed them to be fruitful. That's the only way that God can build your life. That's the only way God can build this church, is by each one of us as individuals be willing, when God speaks to us, to admit whatever it is true about ourselves, but then be willing to receive that message into our hearts. And whatever it is He says that needs to change, we have to be willing to change and change it in faith. And beloved, I promise you, God will not take you from being fruitful to unfruitful. God desires so much from your life, and He desires so much from my life. He desires so much for this church. But it begins with you and I being willing to admit to ourselves who we are, what we are, and obeying the voice of God in whatever it is. And so today, as we consider this little simple illustration about disciples in a ship, what most people would have looked at and said, what's the big deal? Yeah, they're fishing on the left side. They're not fishing on the right side. Jesus used it to teach you and I a lesson about our life. So I ask you today, are you living your life on the left side? Is all the decisions that you make in your life, I'm talking about little daily things, little daily decisions, are all the things that you're doing in life geared and driven and motivated by your human reasoning, your human logic, and your human rationale? If so, you're never going to accomplish all the things that God has for you. I'm not telling you to lose your mind. I'm not telling you don't make smart decisions. But what I am saying is if we're a Christian, and as a believer in Christ, we have the Spirit of God living inside of us, and we need to be praying and seeking God's will and seeking God's direction so that He can guide us every step of the way. And if we'll do that, then you and I can be fruitful. I want to be fruitful, don't you? I want to see God use my life, and I want to see God use your life. May God help us to be serving and living our lives on the right side. Let's bow our heads in prayer.